Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. Today we are in for a special treat. We have not one, but two guests on the podcast. We have Jennifer Hinke, who is the laboratory manager with the Coachella Valley Mosquito and Vector Control District.
Hi,
welcome, Will. Jennifer.
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy that you're here. And we also have Michael Phipps Russell, the executive director of Loving All Animals. Hi, Michael.
Hi, thank you for letting us be here today.
Of course. So we are here to talk about a very interesting topic, and that is brown ticks in the Coachella Valley. So I understand there is a particular challenge this year with ticks. Talk a little bit about that. What are we seeing in the community?
Do you want to go first?
I can. So we have brown dog ticks, and we have occasionally had brown dog ticks before, but we're having quite a little problem of quite a number of them, many more than we had thought. And then it's coming at a time when there's been some increased cases of ticks causing diseases in people in northern Mexico and Mexicali and Tecate. And so we're concerned that because we have these ticks in the area, people are at risk of this disease. And we have dogs that are having some problems with a different disease of ehrlichiosis. We want everybody to know what's going on.
So before we get into that, I wanted to ask, so why do we have more ticks this year? What's caused this?
That's a great question. It's really hard sometimes to figure out what's causing something, but we have a researcher from UC Davis that's been looking at the tick population, and she's been finding over the past few years that there's been an increase of just more ticks in northern Mexico and then in Imperial County, and she's been documenting that they've been coming into the Coachella Valley as well.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you mentioned diseases that affect people as well as pets, dogs, of course. Can talk a little bit about what you're seeing, Michael, at the shelter in terms of how dogs are affected?
The dogs in the East Valley, huge number of them that we see out there are testing positive for ehrlichiosis and anaplasmosis. And these two particular diseases both compromise the animal's blood. In one case, definitely can lead to hemorrhaging. And this is particularly important to know about because we can't really spay and neuter those animals if they have a disease that can cause them to bleed. And so it also affects their ability to heal from any surgical site. So we have that situation going on. In addition, there's an overabundance of animals in the East Valley. We don't have a lot of veterinary services. So we have a huge population of dogs that are living essentially in agricultural land. So it's not a new housing development here where you have a block wall around each home. These are more free-roaming dogs in their communities. So it's very easy for them to pick up things from one, if you will, one home to another, one part of the community, and bring them home. So many of them are getting ticks on them, becoming subsequently infected. And we really can't go in and spay and neuter in bulk, if you will, to help reduce the population until they get better. Complicating this is the fact that in the number of animals out there are larger breed dogs. And if there are strays, if they get picked up and they test positive for these diseases, our local animal control in Riverside County does not treat these diseases because of the amount of time it requires, which is about a month. And so they are at very high risk of euthanasia if they are a shelter system.
Right.
And the treatment is relatively simple. It's just medication for 30 days, but it's medication for 30 days and you have to test them and go out into the community because there are no vets there. So we have to move everything to that side of the valley to treat these animals. And they're just a lot of them. A lot of them. And they're also reproducing, so we have a lot of puppies constantly. And we just have a lot of dogs. And this has been going on for a while. And so and depending on what UC Davis says, this could be over an huge area of land in the East Valley. So it is scary that we don't know exactly how extensive this is. It's expensive and very labor intensive, and the animals can die from this as well. But we can't really do anything for them until we get them healthy and get them past this disease. So we can't spay or neuter. We can't do a lot of things.
You mentioned you're seeing this primarily in the Eastern Valley, but ticks, I would imagine, are everywhere in the Valley. Are you not seeing the issue here in the West or Mid-Valley as
well? We haven't, but we're based in Coachella.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
So that would be something I'd have to pass to our vector control folks here, but I haven't heard of it in this side of the valley, but it is very definitely on the other side of the valley.
Wow. Yeah. So are you seeing it in Mid Valley and the Western Valley as well?
Not yet, but we only really learned about this recently. So we've just started our investigation and we have done some surveys to go look at different neighborhoods within the Eastern Coachella Valley. We are seeing these ticks in Oasis, and then we also found them, unfortunately, in Thermal and in Mecca, and we had reports from North Shore as well. So very much in the Eastern Valley that we know that we're having ticks and having them at different levels, where some places have a lot of ticks and some places seem to have very few, which is good. We'd like to have none if we can get back to that. But it's giving us a sense of this is a bigger problem than we first thought it would be.
And you mentioned that humans are affected by this as well. Talk a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, so this particular tick has the ability to transmit, or vector, to use my district's name, to transmit the pathogen that can cause a rickettsiosis. It is a particular type of rickettsiosis. It's a spotted fever rickettsiosis, and some people might know it as Rocky Mountain spotted fever. But obviously, we're not in the Rocky Mountains, but that is the name of the disease. Some people will have friends or family in Mexicali where they've heard about rickettsiosis because there have been cases of this in Tecate in 2023. And in this year, we're hearing that there's cases in Baja California, that there have been, unfortunately, 31 people that have died in Baja California from rickettsiosis. And 20 of those have been in Tijuana. So it's very close to us. We know so many of our people will go down and visit their friends and their families. They might take their dogs with them, or they might pick up a dog that they find that's really cute and bring it home. And so it's not very far from us that you could be bringing this pathogen home. And that's why we're so concerned.
Right. 31 people, that's not a small number.
In just this year. And that was the last report I have is from September. So it could be a little more even since then.
Okay. So what should people be on the lookout for? How should they be protecting their dogs? I know we're not necessarily talking about, or are we, dogs that are part of homes?
I would say at this point, everyone should be aggressive in using flea and tick prevention on their animals. We're all driving. I came from Coachella to Palm Springs today. I'm going to go back to Coachella. We're all moving across the valley. We're moving our animals ourselves. We're coming into contact with these animals. These ticks are almost hardly able to be seen when they're small. I think we need to err on the side of caution. The outcome for the animal and for the animal is horrible, and it can lead to illness in humans as well. So at this point in time, it's spreading. It's now covering a much larger area than I was hoping. It was not going to include North Shore, but that's a big territory. And we have a lot of people moving back and forth from there to all over the valley. So I would say absolutely today, go out and make sure that you have flea and tick prevention for your animals. This is no joke. These illnesses for your animal, yes, they're treatable. At my cost, you're looking at close to almost $900 per dog, and that's assuming all goes well, and that's so that you can spay or neuter the animal. So it's very serious, and we need to contain this as quickly as possible. It's already bad, but it could get a lot worse, and if we start involving animal control, then we're going to have increase in euthanasia to compound the sadness and upset about this whole issue.
So you say at your cost, $900, is it safe to say that for just the average person, it's going to be significantly more?
Significantly more.
Right.
We get discounts. We can do some of it in-house, but for us to treat an animal just to get it spayed or neutered, to include a spay and neuter, it's going to cost us, if they test positive, the treatment, it's going to be close to $900+ for you. I would think it would start at about $1,400 on a good day.
Do you have numbers of cases this year that you can share, or do you not track
it
that way?
We have taken in and are treating about 10. We we need more bodies to be helping us to do this. If I've been coining the word an animal social workers, because we don't have enough kennel space to move all of these animals out of the home into a 30-day holding facility for treatment and then bring them back. We have to rely on the homeowner or the animal's owner to treat in the home, educate them, and make sure that the animal is following through with its medication, and then follow up with the owner in the end of 30 days for retesting. It's complicated by the fact that there are no veterinarians really on the far east side of the valley. So we either have to bring the services to them or help facilitate transportation for those animals to probably the closest one, I believe, is Indio, and then the next one would be La Quinta area.
Okay. For the animal social workers, are these trained positions or can people volunteer and be trained?
They can be volunteered. They can be volunteers because one of the other things we have to do is we have to be able to track all these animals. We're going to be initiating microchip programs. And of course, we have to get enough microchips for all these people as well as scanners. So then we can look them up, find out exactly who is the owner, and then we can pull up their records so that we can say, okay, so this one's currently under treatment, and then we'll have the records and then we can follow up. You don't need to be a registered nurse or anything to do this. This is really a phone call to follow up that you're able to administer the medication. Hi, it's about that time for us to have the second test to make sure your animal cleared and help facilitate that. And then, of course, as an animal welfare organization, we also want to see that the animal is spayed or neutered and then fully vaccinated just for their health as well. So a lot of it's just follow-up, but I have a feeling the numbers have just simply gotten much larger since I've been here. So we're going to need a lot of volunteers.
A lot of volunteers. And we have a lot of dog lovers in our community. So how do they find out about getting involved?
We'll have more official information after tomorrow. There is a meeting at the district's office or on Zoom tomorrow. And the agenda item is to help finalize a plan and develop clinics. This will be a multi-agency activity. Although we do have a veterinary clinic at Loving All Animals, it's not really officially turned on until January 2nd. But we need to move the services out to that area. So we'll probably have to be partnering with an organization that I haven't yet spoken with today. So I don't know if I should give their name, but so that we can use their mobile vehicles and we can load up the equipment and then we can take it down there and serve the public.
So after the meeting on November 20th, 2025, there will be information on a website or?
Will it be available that quickly?
I don't know that it'll be available that quickly, but we know that soon afterwards, we'll hopefully be able to advertise what our clinics are going to be and be able to make a better statement about where we need volunteers and how people could help us.
Will you both share your websites?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You want to go for www.lovingallanimals.org.
Okay.
And to find the Coachella Valley Mosquito and Vector Control District, you want cvmosquito.org.
So Jennifer, you refer to this as the brown dog tick challenge, issue, concern. Are other animals affected by these ticks?
That's a great question. So we do know that we sometimes see this tick on cats, but really when it comes to the diseases that we're worried about, it's the dogs and then it's the people. Those are the two that are our primary targets of this tick, but then it's also unfortunately where the pathogens go for these two pathogens.
And for people who have discovered they've been bitten by or they find a tick on them, what should they do?
Oh, great question. First, you want to get that tick off as soon as possible. And there are lots of different things that you might hear would be a good way. The best way to get your tick off is to get a pair of tweezers or forceps, get as close to the head of the tick as possible and pull straight out. You want to try and get the whole head out because otherwise you might get an infection from just having that little body part left in you. And it's going to reduce your chances of having any pathogens that go in there. Clean your wound afterwards, patch it up, and then you want to check and see if you're having any symptoms. The diseases that we're talking about here, unfortunately, are going to be similar to a lot of other diseases. So if you're having a fever, headache, muscle pain, nausea, vomiting, your usual symptoms that unfortunately we can get this time of year, please seek medical care very quickly.
Okay.
Your best chance, if you happen to be having an issue with from rickettsiosis, is to be treated in the first 5 days, which is very fast. Most times, I know I might sometimes wait a little bit after I've gotten sick. This is not a case where you want to be messing around. You need to go in and get checked out. So if you've been bitten by a tick and you're then having any sort of health problems, please seek immediate care. Your doctors are going to check you. They will test to see if it happens to be this or something else, and they'll provide you with the right course of actions.
So I remember when I was little, my brother and I would play outside and we would run wild. We would always come in, and depending on who it was, our grandparents or my parents would always check us. Be recommending for people who spend a great deal of time outdoors to do the same.
Outdoors and also with your dogs. This is one of those cases where the older advice was like you needed a friend to help you tick and do your tick check and look for places that are hard for you to find. Michael mentioned before, these ticks, before they have really fed, they're pretty small. The adult ticks are the size of a sesame seed.
Oh, wow.
So thinking about that sesame seed bagel that you had this morning, those are pretty small for you to find. And unfortunately, as they feed, they'll get bigger and it'll be easier to find. But it is really tiny. And so you're looking for really small things. Sometimes we think that it's just us going out for a hike or going for a longer walk. But now that we know these are in the Eastern Coachella Valley, it could be just going around your yard. If you've been spending time outside, you want to then just take another check, run your hands over things, take a nice shower, double check every place, especially areas that are harder for you to look, the backs of your legs, cracks and crevices on our own bodies. Those are going to be places that ticks are going to hide.
Right. Yeah. So get that very close friend or family member to check you, because 5 days, that's a very quick turnaround before you. Yeah. So what more, or what lasting words that you have for our listeners? What should they know?
I think a lot of this sounds really scary, and it's hard because in one level, we do want you to be concerned about things. And I think as Michael was pointing out, there's so much prevention that you can do with these things. One, you should be checking your animal and looking for ticks on them. In this case of the dogs, these ticks really like to be between their toes. They like to be on their ears, but they might be anywhere else. So finding your ticks, getting rid of them, that's a really important piece, getting it off of you or off of your animals. Putting your animals on preventative medicine is super important, and it is something that you could be doing that would protect them. So there's a lot that's already in your control. Bigger picture, you want to then start figuring out where does your dog hang out outside, and then get rid of things that might be a place for the ticks to hide in that. So you've got lots of control as part of that. I don't want people to be worried that you're going to die tomorrow, but I think you should be concerned enough to start taking actions, and you've got lots of things within your control to do this.
The preventative medication, is that available over the counter? Just go to your pharmacy and get that?
Yeah, so there's different versions. Michael, do you have ones that you want to recommend?
We're going to be talking extensively tomorrow, making a recommendation, I understand, but there is a collar and then there's medication that's available. And I believe that after the upcoming meeting, there will be a recommendation. And that recommendation is coming from a number of veterinarians who will be making that recommendation. But there are collars, there are medications available that you can apply directly on your animal. They're readily available. And if you're concerned, you can always, and you should actually consult with your veterinarian what is best for your animal. Maybe their behavior is such a collar is not going to work. Maybe your lifestyle is such that you're not really there to do the application and do it regularly and when you should. Actually, in this case, I would say definitely send an email off to your vet and get their recommendations. They all have recommendations for this type of thing. But again, there'll be some additional recommendations, I'm sure, after tomorrow's meeting. But if you don't understand ticks and you don't understand these diseases and so forth, do understand that if your animal gets sick from this, it's going to be very expensive. And it's all something that you can avoid.
Right.
So it's better to be proactive, especially right now when we know that it's covering such a large territory in the eastern portion of the 4th District. So
it's a serious issue that can be prevented.
Absolutely.
Your website's one more time.
www.lovingallanimals.org.
Okay, thank you.
And you're looking for Coachella Valley Mosquito and Vector Control District. We're at cvmosquito.org.
Thank you both for being here and sharing this important information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.com. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe.